It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. It's been a year since news reports started covering the large numbers of children crossing the U.S. border from Central American countries. It's estimated that more than 55,000 unaccompanied minors have crossed the border since then. And since January 2014, more than 2,800 minors have been placed with relatives or new caretakers in Maryland. In July, we examined why these children were coming to Maryland, and we looked at options that were on the table to house them. Now we want to ask, what's the next step for these children who are living in the state? To talk about the legal needs of unaccompanied minors, I'm joined by Adonia Simpson, managing attorney for Catholic Charities Esperanza Center in Fells Point. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And also with us on the phone is Jennifer Larrabee, Deputy Director for the Pro Bono Resource Center of Maryland. The Resource Center is the pro bono arm of the Maryland State Bar Association. Jennifer, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Sheila.
Now, Adonia, the children who've been placed in Maryland into the care of people known as sponsors, are these temporary placements until the child receives due process in the legal system, or can they be permanent?
They are normally, by and large, permanent placements. The way that the system works, while the child is in an ORR facility.
ORR is the Office of Refugee Resettlement?
That's correct. That's a department within the Department of Health and Human Services.
It's a federal agency, yeah.
That's correct. While the children are in the facility, the shelter, a sponsor is identified. And that sponsor, by and large, is a family member, oftentimes a parent, an older sibling, an aunt, or an uncle. When that sponsor is identified, there's a series of checks that are put into place to make sure that these children are being released into safe homes. And once that's done, they are reunified with this family member. I believe the number is well over 95% of these children are being reunified with a family member here in Maryland.
The surge of children who have come this year, are most of them still in the process somewhere, or have many of them had a determination, or some of them already sent back, those who came to Maryland?
I would say the majority are still in the process before the immigration courts. And the reason for that is we have such a great need for attorneys. We need attorneys to represent these children. Many of these children have valid forms of relief that they could seek before the immigration court. However, they need an advocate. So pending a time that they can obtain an advocate, the immigration courts are currently continuing their cases.
I want to play part of a conversation I had Friday with Tanya Brown. She's executive director of Bethany Christian Services, which is a nonprofit that provides services to youth when they are released to a sponsor. I guess in most cases they've been in a federal facility of some sort, and then they're released to a sponsor. And I asked Tanya about a typical case.
Most children have gang issues that they have been exposed to in home country. They have been either threatened and or had a family member threatened and or had a family member killed. Some feel like they're trying to escape this environment so that they can have a successful life and or live, period. But they're escaping retribution from the gangs, some from their governments, some have experiences that are just heartbreaking. Who would set themselves up for more heartache, more pain, more suffering, but someone who's escaping something that they feel like they cannot get away from, they cannot survive, and therefore this is their only alternative. And that's what they're doing when they come here, and that's pretty much a typical case.
Jennifer Larrabee, on this issue of trauma, I understand that attorneys can present findings about abuse to the court. How does trauma factor into a potential case for one of these unaccompanied minors?
Certainly. So the training on Wednesday is really for any attorney, whether they're licensed in Maryland or not, who are interested in getting involved in these cases and are willing to take at least one pro bono case within 1 year of the training. But we're going to be focusing on a specific type of relief for these kids, something called Special Immigrant Juvenile Status, or SIJS. And that does involve a state court proceeding where we're going to be asking the pro bono attorneys really to do two things in that state court proceeding. One is to file for custody or guardianship, but then also to ask the state court to make a predicate finding that the child has been a victim of abuse, abandonment, or neglect by one or both parents. And assuming that that finding can be secured in state court, the pro bono attorneys will also be sort of simultaneously representing the minor in immigration court proceedings. And that's really going to be more of a defensive posture where the attorneys are going to have to be keeping the immigration court informed about the process and the status of the state court proceedings, and ultimately really asking the immigration court to postpone the removal proceedings until the visa can be obtained by filing with USCIS.
Adonia, does trauma enter into very many of the legal proceedings that these unaccompanied minors will be entering into?
Yes, as Jennifer was discussing, special immigrant juvenile status has an element of showing abuse, abandonment, or neglect by parent in state court. But also in immigration court, children that may not be eligible for special immigrant juvenile status sometimes seek a relief called asylum, where you have to demonstrate to either the asylum office or the immigration court that you've been persecuted by the government or a group that the government cannot control on the basis of your membership in a particular social group. And oftentimes to establish that an individual has been persecuted, that they've been harmed, we really do have to delve into the trauma that they've experienced.
So Jennifer, you train pro bono attorneys, and you're having a special training for lawyers who want to volunteer to represent these unaccompanied minors. Are there enough attorneys who can do this work, or are there more attorneys coming down the pipeline?
Well, I'm very pleased to report that we have 180 attorneys currently registered for our training program. We will also be offering this training ongoing through our online training program. And I think given the numbers that you were citing earlier, Sheila, as thrilled as we are with that number of attorneys stepping up initially, we can certainly use more.
Adonia, the government doesn't pay for a respondent's lawyer in immigration court the way it would for a defendant's lawyer in a criminal proceeding. What's at stake for young people?
That's correct, Sheila. Unlike the criminal system, where an attorney will be appointed to you at no cost, potentially, immigration is a civil system. So you have a right to counsel, yet one is not going to be appointed to you. So what you're really seeing is you're seeing children as young as 3 years old appearing in immigration proceedings without an attorney. They're responding to allegations from the government. They're pleading relief, which is impossible without an attorney, in my opinion. To proceed pro se or to proceed without counsel, there may be relief that's not identified, allegations may be incorrect, and that's why it's so important to have counsel.
How different are the results in cases where the young person is represented by a lawyer compared to when they're not?
There's been various studies recently that show that having an advocate, having an attorney that can evaluate the case, that can look into the facts and knows the law, it increases the likelihood of success on the merits exponentially.
I asked Tanya Brown of Bethany Christian Services to sort of look ahead and tell me what kind of caseload she expects in coming months. Here's part of her answer.
I think that the numbers will continue to go up because I do believe that things are very seasonal. It was a very hot summer, and therefore probably traveling wasn't as frequent then. But I do believe after the winter that we're going to see the numbers go back up again. So right now, just for numbers for Maryland in perspective to my agency, our numbers have kind of died down. But you were talking about in July, I was getting at least 45, 50 cases in a week. And that is an enormous amount when we were getting maybe 3 to 4.
Adonia, how does it look to you? What kind of planning are you doing for caseload?
We are also anticipating numbers to increase again after the winter months. This is, as Tanya said, this is a seasonal curve. This is a slow time for immigration just by virtue of the weather conditions in Central America and Mexico. So we are also anticipating that the numbers will, again, increase. We've been very fortunate to receive some very generous funding that will allow us to add staff to really address this issue and add attorneys to assist these children.
Jennifer, I don't know whether when lawyers sign up to take this training, whether you have a chance to interact with them or find out what is motivating them, most of them.
Sure. I mean, I think we are fortunate to be in a state where our bar has demonstrated a longstanding commitment to, you know, providing pro bono legal services to low-income and disadvantaged people all around the state. And I think we have found through our work at PBRC that when there is a particularly relevant issue, a persistent legal need affecting a large number of, you know, vulnerable people in the state, that the bar really steps up and really, you know, comes out in droves, comes together as a community to address the issue. And we've been fortunate enough to have that response here.
Well, thank you both for talking to us. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer Larrabee is Deputy Director of the Pro Bono Resource Center of Maryland. Adonia Simpson is the Managing Attorney for Catholic Charities Esperanza Center in Fells Point. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning, including a link to the training event this Wednesday. And it's sponsored by the Pro Bono Resource Center of Maryland. It's for attorneys who want to learn how to file for special immigrant juvenile status. Also, a link to a website the O'Malley administration unveiled last month with resources for undocumented and unaccompanied children and their sponsor, buscandomaryland.com, a link on our website. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, former Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard. Stay with us on 88.1.